The Nature Journal is brought to you by SAPI in the interest of conserving our planet and enriching and empowering all South Africans.
Well, of course, in our ADU slot, we talk about all sorts of different programming, and it's always citizen science. Chatting to Dieter Oshotlios to find out more about the common little weaver. Now, Dieter, weavers, I think, are fascinating. They tend to pluck all the flowers out of your garden. They do all sorts of things that don't endear you to them, but yet they are still fascinating birds. What started the interest in weavers, and what is phone?
Well, weavers are so common and in so many people's gardens that they just attract attention. And yes, gardeners don't like them, but certainly many people are fascinated by them because of their nest-building abilities. And it just provides entertainment and wonder at nature, just at how amazingly these birds construct nests using mainly their beak. They hold the material with their feet, but it's just their beak. When I was in high school, my interest in birds started by watching the birds in the garden, and there were masked weavers in the garden. And they were more interesting than the bulbuls and white-eyes, and that interest has just stuck since then.
I'm always fascinated when you say the way that they use just their beaks. I mean, come on, how does this guy know to do knit one, purl one, plain one, and tie it off at the end? It's fascinating to see how quickly they build, and of course, the incredible way that they weave.
Yes, Tim. The weaver birds start a nest by taking a few long strands of grass or palm leaves, and they'll hold it down on the twig with their feet, and then with a beak, they'll turn it around the twig and pull it through. Very simple knot, but that's the base on which to build. Then they'll take the next one and push it through and tie a knot again. And so it thickens the base, and eventually they'll start letting some of the strands drop to either side and then start bringing them around to form a ring. And then they'll twist them around and keep knotting in. And so from the ring, when that's nice and sturdy, the male can sit inside the ring and then he can build the chamber and the entrance. Now, interestingly enough, he sits in the ring and the size of the nest is determined by the size of the bird, because as far as he can reach from the ring is how far chamber will go.
Incredible little creatures when they start this working process. How many different weavers do we have in South Africa? Because we seem to have different classes of weavers. We build different nests. And here I'm just thinking, in our garden, we've got a guy who builds single-story nests all the time. But we have a friend of ours who builds like a double-story nest. And I'm not too sure what he gets up to. Different species?
Yes, there are 25 species of weaver bird in Southern Africa. In South Africa, it's about 21 or so. And there are probably about three groups of weaver birds. The first group is your typical weaver, the masked weaver, cape weaver, village weaver, that builds a typical kidney-shaped nest and very common in gardens through Southern Africa. Then there are the widow birds and the bishop birds. Their nests are harder to find, but the males are still very conspicuous and colorful. And then the third group is the sparrow weavers, scaly-feathered finch, social weaver, and red-billed buffalo weaver. These are more drab-looking birds. They're found in more arid or semi-arid areas, and their nests are not quite as elaborate as your true weaver.
I'm always fascinated by the sociable weaver and the goings-on that seem to happen, because there's a lot of twittering, there's a lot of awful work, and I've found the most amazing amount of wasps that seem to interact with them. The hornbill comes along to eat the wasps. There seems to be a little falcon who pops his nose inside, snakes that get involved. This whole township that's sitting on top of a tree, it doesn't seem to be only about the weavers.
In particular, social weavers, firstly, they're community birds, so there are these large nests with up to a few hundred birds. Smaller nests, of course, will have less birds. But being in arid areas, they provide shade, they provide nest sites where there are a few trees possibly, even though they choose big trees if they can to build their nests. And so they attract a lot of different birds and animals. They, of course, attract predators like cape cobras, boomslang, birds of prey. But they also, having this massive structure, attract birds that are obligate nesters, for instance, the pygmy falcon, The pygmy falcon does not build its own nest ever, so it will always choose a chamber within a sociable weaver nest and lay its eggs there. Similarly, there's the rosy-faced lovebird, Acacia pied barbet, and a host of other species that will choose to nest or roost in the sociable weaver nest. There's even more. The whole ecology has been studied by Richard Dean, who found that under the sociable weaver nest, there are lots of droppings of the birds, even of antelope that come to rest in the shade of the tree. And this provides a substrate that's ideal for small acacia seedlings to grow. Now, while the parent plant is doing well, the seedlings will stay small because the nutrients are being used by the parent plant. But once the parent plant starts to die off, those seedlings are at a great advantage to seedlings that have been dispersed away from nest site tree. So there's a whole fascinating ecology, even relating to the plants in these areas where sociable weavers are found.
Also found when working up in the Kalahari that a number of the sociable weaver trees used by cheetah, etc., as scent marking posts. And this also fascinated me. And I thought the story that the weavers could tell sitting up the top looking down at whoever was visiting must be incredible. Is there a particular tree that these nests are found in?
They like the normal camel thorn tree, Acacia erilobia. So those are favored, but they also use the shepherd's tree and a variety of other trees. There is even a record of a eucalyptus tree being used, but they don't normally like exotic trees, and there aren't that many in their habitat. Certainly, they also use man-made structures. They use telephone poles. They even use the roofs of buildings, sheds, and so on. And it's amazing how they get the nests there. I've seen the nests in quite a few places. They start building on the edge of the roof, and then it just is built down, hanging from the roof edge.
Dieter, is there any form of plan with a sociable weaver's nest? Because it really just looks like everybody flies over the top and drops a twig on or drops a piece of grass on, and hopefully it sticks and we'll have a nest at the end.
Well, the structure is the same in all cases, and the birds will start by laying a few pieces of grass on top of a firm substrate, if it's a roof of a house or a telephone post or a thick branch of an acacia tree. And then they'll keep adding on top of that till there's a firm mass, and then they can start pushing in pieces of dry grass from the sides. And eventually they'll have an umbrella-shaped nest, and they'll start leaving gaps where they'll form the nest chamber. They go inside the chamber and make it round. They'll add pieces of grass that they shape to make a comfortable chamber. So the inside of the chamber is secure, but the interesting thing is the entrance to the chamber has got these pieces of grass sticking in a downward direction. So for the birds, which are small, they fit in very easily. But for someone with a large hand trying to feel eggs or chicks inside, you'll get pricked quite severely, even drawing blood. And I've had that experience many times.
I didn't realize that these guys sort of had a forward defense system. Rather neat. Now, again, with all the different weavers, what is the interest in phone? What is phone, in fact?
Phone is an acronym standing for Photos of Weaver Nests. The director of the Animal Demography Unit, Les Underhill, came up with this really neat acronym. It has really a nice ring to it, and I've used the term dial into phone in advertising the project. It's about collecting information on weaver nests, and it's very easy. Anyone can take part. And it's very similar to all our virtual museum projects, where citizen scientists take a photo, record the date and locality, and submit the data online to our website. And that builds up a database of distribution for whichever taxa is being studied. I'm interested in the weavers, so that project is called Phone. And for this, we can look at the breeding distribution of weaver birds, but there are a lot of other things that we can learn as well. Where possible, I'd like people to include a nest count, and that will give information on colony size. So we can start studying how large colonies are of different weaver species, how it varies in different areas, and even how it relates to other factors. For instance, Diedrich cuckoo parasitism. Now, what has been studied or found in a study is that larger colonies will have less parasitism by the Diedrich cuckoo for the simple reason that there are more males in a large colony, weaver males, and they're more vigilant and can chase the cuckoos away. Whereas in smaller colonies, there's less vigilance and the cuckoo has more chance to enter a nest undetected to lay her egg.
When you say looking at the numbers, etc., does this include somebody who's living in a domestic garden or living in a domestic home, normal suburban home, who's got two or three weavers nesting in their trees, of interest to you, or are we only really looking at the great outdoors?
Oh, no, I'm interested in any record. It's actually very interesting looking at records in urban or suburban areas. Often, especially the masked weaver, is found in single male colonies. So there's one male with a few nests, five, six usually, but it can vary anything from 1 to 12 or even sometimes more. Whereas in areas away from human habitation, often the colonies are larger, and that may be due to clumping at resources near a river or where there's more food and so on. Sometimes they are still found in single male colonies or small colonies, especially along the roadside, but definitely there's a trend for larger colonies. Whereas in urban areas, I've hardly ever found a particularly large colony for southern masked weaver. Other species differ, so the Cape weaver has got large colonies irrespective of urban or non-urban areas.
Always fascinated when you say as well the dominant character. And I go to our normal sort of home garden where I think we've got five or six feeders, not through any other reason than we've got weaver birds and mossies. And between the two of them, it has always fascinated me that when the girls are sitting down and collecting seed out of the bird feeders, we all seem to just shovel up and let another lady in to come and eat away happily. The males, on the other hand, cannot resist dive-bombing each other and chasing each other out. We've got one male whose favorite trick is to get into the bird feeder, and then he commands his roost from there, and nobody is allowed onto it. Is this normal behavior? Are they very territorial?
I don't have a bird feeder, so I can't enjoy the pleasures of having birds outside my window. But certainly, weavers can be very pugnacious and can be dominant over smaller species. But sometimes even weavers are chased away by the well-known pintailed wider, a small bird with a long tail, which is probably the most dominant bird at any feeder where they occur. Some interesting stories have arisen in particularly Johannesburg, where in some gardens, weavers are so territorial of bird feeders that they've even started building their nests on the feeder. The nests take all sorts of strange shapes because it's such a strange substrate. It's not your normal twig that the nest is suspended from. And I've had photos, even in the project phone, you can find some really interesting, bizarre nest shapes. And of course, no female accepts these nests or lays her eggs in them, but the males probably have some pleasure in having a home close to the food source.
I'm just quite smiling here because a friend of ours has got this little steel birdhouse, and regularly they remove the nest because they just get tired of this character commanding royally from his nest. And he doesn't allow anybody else near it. Obviously, folks, weavers are interesting, and I think, as Dieter said, 25 different weavers that we have. It is a lot more than just taking the photographs, but the beauty is that it's citizen science. And when I say the beauty, it's because, as Dieter said, he'd love photographs from all over the countryside, but there is nothing wrong with taking the photographs in your garden and submitting those as well. When you listen to folk like Dieter, their pleasure is send them. Rather let them decide how many is enough And I bet we never really get to enough because we've always got something different. And I think equally it is enabling us to understand movement of a lot of birds and, of course, different designs, different parasites who come in and lay in the nests. We, for example, are always fascinated. We've got one little male in our garden. And wintertime, well, he strips the white energy deck and he lines his nest with that. And when it gets to around springtime, he goes down and he collects all the lavender that he can find and he puts that into his nest. Obviously, I would imagine cleaning away bugs, who knows what it is. But there is this absolute fascination as each one becomes a character in their own. And I like the idea of photos of weavers' nests. Think when you're out in the countryside and you take those photographs, submit them. Do remember that you can always go onto Google Earth as well. That gives you the position that is close enough for you to understand where you are. And many of your cell phones, many of your modern cameras have got the GPS system in them where they can actually take note of where you are. And I think if you do want to submit these, Dieter, where do we go? Into the ADU website?
Yes, on the ADU website, that's adu.org.za, there's a menu on the left-hand side with all the projects listed. So you will see there's a link to Weavers, and that's where you can look at the photographs that have been submitted already. There's more information than on the virtual museum site itself. You can see summary maps and summaries of the colony counts and a whole host of different information. But to actually upload the photos, you would go to the virtual museum submenu, and that's where you can register if you haven't registered previously, and then upload your photos with all the information requested. There are forms that will guide you through the whole process.
Dieter, on that, thank you very much for joining us. And of course, we'll phone in and make sure that people get excited about it.
Super. Great talking to you, Tim.
There we go. And that was Dieter Oschatlios. And Dieter is with the ADU, with that in particular interest in weavers. And as we've said, there are 25 odd different weavers around the place. Some of them the most incredibly interesting characters. Sociable weavers, always lovely to watch. And of course, buffalo weavers and the rest of them. Have a look at their nests. They are all over the Kalahari. They are all over different areas. Doesn't matter where you are in South Africa, you will find a weaver's nest of some description. Hanging on a fence, who knows? But take a photograph and submit them. After all, you are contributing to citizen science and, of course, the work that these guys do.
The Nature Journal is an initiative in support of the sustainability of our planet, its people, and prosperity. Brought to you by SAPI, Global Paper, Packaging, and Cellulose Company. SAPI, inspired by life.